Matthew 18:15-20. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
I had somebody tell me this week that I was maybe a little too comfortable with conflict. I disagreed, and I was happy to spend the next 10 minutes explaining just why I thought he was wrong. No, that is not true, actually. I said, I'm going to have to think about that. And then he made me cry. So, you know, he's my therapist, but it still didn't seem fair, and we'll have to talk about that later, I guess. But the truth is, I don't tend to shy away from conflict because I think that it's a necessary part of growth, if it's done well. We know that there are times where conflict just for the sake of, I think that's a straw man, right? Conflict for the sake of conflict. Very few people want that. But when there are certain ways of engaging in conflict that that only destroy. But the truth is, whereas a lot of us might avoid conflict because we want what? What's the alternative? Peace, right? Yeah, that makes sense. And yet in the Hebrew Bible, the term for peace, shalom, doesn't mean an absence of conflict. It means justice. It means right relationship. And so conflict is how we get there. It's that place where we say, we don't agree on something, and we can either just ignore that thing, in which case, I mean, frankly, friends, anytime we get together with anybody else who isn't us, eventually there's going to be something on which we disagree. And if we just ignore that thing, then all we are is two individuals or multiple individuals who just happen to be sharing space, not really building community, right? But it's when we can engage with one another, listen to each other, share how we actually show up as our whole selves, stay open when possible, stay open to the possibility that we have something to learn in an engagement, that we can begin to build something bigger than ourselves, the kind of thing that God calls us to. When I do premarital counseling with folks, I often will say to them, that one of the first things I ask folks is, how do you fight? What's your fighting style? And a lot of times, especially with like really young couples, they'll tell me, oh, we don't fight. And that's actually when I'm more concerned, right? Whatever your fighting style is, we can work on it, but if you haven't fought, that means whatever vows you're about to make, they're pretty words, but you don't know like how hard it's going to be to actually uphold them. And until you get into a conflict, until you let that part of you that you don't like very much or show, or until you see that part of the other person that you don't like very much, or you let that part of you show that they don't like very much, until you run into those really hard places and then work through it, all the words in the world aren't going to convince the other person that, no, I'm here to stay, even when I don't like you very much in the moment. I love you, And what that means is I'm not going any place. Right? The scriptures tell us over and over again that God is like, right? No. God isn't like. God is love. But until we are honest about who we are, until we find ways to be in conflict, sometimes even with ourselves, to admit those places of ourselves that we're not comfortable with, the fact that maybe I'm a little too comfortable with conflict sometimes and I'm uncomfortable with that about myself, until we find ways to admit that with ourselves, how can we truly grow? Or how can we truly believe that God is going to love us more than we love ourselves, right? If I can't acknowledge the hardest parts of who I am, how can I ever believe that God is going to? If I can't acknowledge the hardest parts of who my partner is, or who my friends are, or who my community is, and stick with them through it, or I can't trust that they will stick with me through the difficult parts, how can I ever truly believe that God will do that? The scriptures tell us, you cannot love God whom you do not see and hate your brother whom you do see, right? So, when Jesus starts talking about conflict here, I think it's a good reminder for us that conflict is not something new, and it is not something new that we struggle with how to do it well. The fact that Jesus is telling people, 2,000 some odd years ago, how to do conflict better, tells us that this was something that people have always struggled with, right? And he begins by saying the very first thing you need to do if your brother or sister has sinned against you. Now, first of all, let's just stop right there. The word sin, that may mean, and I think we often hear that as, if they have done you wrong, right? Because if we sin against God, that's when we've done wrong, right? I know it's confusing when I'm wrong, right? No, when somebody has done us wrong, but let's be clear, the meaning, the actual translation of the word sin, anybody remember? Miss the mark, that's right. So that means sometimes we are talking about, hey, listen, somebody does you wrong, they've sinned against you. But also sometimes it can mean a misunderstanding, right? Somebody told a joke that didn't land right with you, yeah? Now, that doesn't mean like, oh, well, you just can't take a joke. Sometimes jokes are veiled ways of saying things that shouldn't be said, right? But it means that sometimes the conflict isn't as obvious as saying, you screwed up. So when Jesus says the first thing you do when your brother or sister has sinned against you is you go talk to them one-on-one, right? I think this is the hardest step in the whole process. Because to go talk to somebody one-on-one means that first, you've got to do your own work. If somebody sins against me and I just come in guns blazing to say, you screwed up, you need to get right, you need to make this right with me, how are people going to hear that? Anybody take that well? I like to think, what's that? It feels like an attack. Yeah, you feel attacked, right? And what do you do when you feel attacked? Exactly. At best, you just defend yourself, right? You get defensive. At worst, you go on the attack. You say, it's your problem. Let's talk about your issues, right? And remember when I said not all conflict is healthy, right? Some conflict just tears down. This is a recipe for escalating. This is the kind of conflict none of us wants to engage in. This is the kind of thing we are always afraid of, that keeps us from going and having honest conversations with folks about things that, we all know we're not supposed to talk about, right? So the first step before you go talk to somebody, you gotta do your own work. You gotta figure out what of this is mine to work through. Right? Somebody tells me something I don't want to hear, and I need to ask myself, okay, first of all, what's making me feel whatever it is I'm feeling? How much of this is true? Hey, listen, if somebody calls me out on something and I know it's completely false, I ain't worried about it. somebody calls me out on something, and I'm worried that maybe there's a grain of truth, or I know that there's a grain of truth to it, that's when I get the most, that's when I get up in my feelings, you know? So what work, what if this work is mine to do? And then I need to go talk to the person to say, not with the intent of tearing down, of getting even, of shaming them, but with the intent of healing community. Right? To say love is bigger than like. I don't like you right now, but I love you enough to work through this. And so you go and you say, when you did this thing or when you said this thing, I reacted this way. This is how it made me feel. This was the consequence. Like, and now we need to figure out. Maybe that person's like, sorry about your feelings. Maybe they aren't willing to change anything, but at least they're willing to hear you, have the conversation, talk it out. Who knows how that goes? Hopefully it's healing. But if it's not, if it's just awful, that's when you go, and according to Jesus, and get one or two people who just totally agree with you on everything, and you can gang up on the person and shame them into doing the right thing, right? You think that's probably what Jesus is talking about, right? This is where Jesus says, if that doesn't work, go get one or two others. No, Jesus says, go and get one or two witnesses, people who actually saw what happened. Or, I would argue, people who maybe can are a little detached, can have sort of maybe an unbiased, now none of us are completely unbiased ever, but some sort of unbiased opinion. And I'll be honest, sometimes you go and you get one of those, if you're doing the work right, you go get a wise person to help you with this. Sometimes they're going to say, have you done your work here? Right? And sometimes they'll go and they'll sit with you and there'll be a third set of ears to say, okay, this is what I'm hearing. Maybe you can't hear each other. This is what I'm hearing. But we seek out the wisdom of others. That's why it's important. People tell me all the time, and I agree, you do not have to be a part of a church in order to have a relationship with God, right? You got everything you need. You can speak to God. You can pray anytime you want. You don't need me to pray on your behalf. You can read the Bible yourself. You can, and we're all muddling through. You don't need me to give you answers because I do the best I can. I don't have any answers any more than you. We work on this together. But here's the thing. You want to be surrounded with people who know the journey you're on and can say, I love you enough to tell you the truth. And I love that person enough to care more about the healing of the relationship than I do about taking sides. I don't care who wins this argument. I want to make sure that the community is healthy and whole, right? And if the person still can't make any headway, that's when you bring them before the whole church. So starting this Sunday, we're just going to have a carve out a piece of time where if you got a complaint against somebody, you just come on up and I'll say, hey, did you go talk to him? Yeah, okay. Did you take somebody else to go talk to him? Yeah, okay, we'll call them all on up. We'll shame them here in front of everybody, right? No, of course not. Of course not. Nobody was ever shamed into being the people God called them to be. But there is a moment at which we say, there's a conflict here that we can't seem to heal. And we need to make sure that as a community, we figure out how do we work through conflicts. God has called us to live into the beloved community, God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And that cannot mean that we just sit back and work toward the absence of conflict. It means we have to work toward the presence of justice in the community. So how do we heal brokenness in our midst when it feels like the people involved cannot square the circle? And this is hard work. This takes a lot of trust. But this is everything. There are so many churches out there that are so polite. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They become places where dysfunction just goes unchecked. And we all know, you can say all the right things, you can have all the right ministries in place, But if there are unhealthy relationships running rampant throughout the church, if it's an unhealthy culture, people will come in and they'll feel it. And they'll be like, nope, this is not life-giving for me, right? I don't want to be a part of this. I got my own dysfunctional family to deal with. I don't need to come be a part of yours, right? So how do we work, do the hard work of making sure that we are a healthy, healing congregation, community? And if none of that works, the person is just unwilling to make any changes, nope, not going to do it, not going to do it. Then Jesus says, then let them be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, this is where context is always valuable, I think. The Gospel of Matthew is a gospel that was written for the Jewish community, to make the case of Jesus to the Jewish community. So saying that somebody is like a Gentile or a tax collector, this is particularly harsh language, right? Because the Gentiles, they are outsiders to the Jewish community on the day, right? They have nothing to do with us. If anything, they are a corrupting influence. They are not God's people. The tax collectors, they're one of us who takes our money, steals from us in order to support empire, right? So just shun them altogether. Right? I already see heads shaking. I see this is the problem. I set you all up. You know that it's not, the thing's not the thing, right? Because who's doing the speech? Who's teaching right now? Jesus. What did Jesus do with Gentiles and tax collectors? Had dinner with them, healed them, treated them as equals, right? Gentiles are not Gentiles because they've been ostracized from God's community. They're just not part of, they don't see the world the same way, right? They haven't, they don't have the same construct, the same understanding of God that we do. Tax collectors are one of us, and what did we just talk about with love, right? Somebody can do all the wrong things, make all the mistakes. You do not have to keep having them in your life constantly and allowing them to continue to abuse you or others, right? But you never completely close the door, because you never know when you're going to sit down and break bread with somebody and they will say, I'm going to make everything I've done wrong right. If I've harmed anybody, I will make it right. Like that story of Nicodemus, right? You never know. Jesus doesn't close the door on anyone. And just like I said, the Gospel of Matthew was written for the Jewish people, which makes these particularly damning things to consider somebody. And yet, while most scholars don't believe that the Apostle Matthew actually wrote this gospel because it came much later, it was written in his name. And who was Matthew? What, do you remember his call story? He was a tax collector. The person telling the story says, if the person is completely unrepentant, won't make any changes, they're just hell-bent for being unhealthy in your community, then make them just like I was before I became the apostle who followed Jesus, who told the story, who shared it with others. Jesus says, "What you have loose, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. But be careful, because once we start condemning things on earth and expecting them to be condemned in heaven, we have to be, it becomes a real slippery slope about who then isn't condemned. If I condemn you, how long will it be before you turn around and condemn me, right? If I can get two or three on my side, and you get two or three on your side, this means we're all going to hell. That's not what any of us are looking for, right? Right? Is it? That's not what I'm looking for. I should speak for myself. This is what if I've learned nothing else in therapy, I should have learned this. I should speak for myself. That's not what I'm looking for. Hey, we'll just all burn together, folks. No. And so may we find the courage to connect with each other deeply, to do the hard work of building community that doesn't always agree, that isn't bound together by agreement, but is bound together by the grace that we accept for ourselves and in so doing recognize the need to offer to others. May we find a place where we are all set loose on earth to do the work that God has called us to do. Amen.